Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, He's Stirring Up a Blessing. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
This is where a lot of people get stuck because they never release what they renounce. I said they never let go of what they have said they let go of. You have got to let go. You've got to release what you renounce. A lot of people never do that, and that has their life on hold forever and forever, because it's not until you release what you have renounced that you actually position yourself to receive the blessings and the promises of God into your life. And it is when you release what you renounce that you begin to position yourself in a place where ministry now becomes effective, not to your neighbor, but it becomes effective in your life. And until you release, tell somebody, release it. Until you release what you have renounced, you will always be in a miserable position. And I say you'll be miserable because you're in the church, but you're really not in the church. And so you're kind of here, but you're really not here. You're too here to not be here, but you're really too out there to be in here. And so you love God, but you love you more. I said you love God, but you love you more. And you want God, but you want you more. And you need God, but you really think you need yourself more. And so you're caught in the middle, and you become miserable because you know too much. One of the worst things you can do is come to a church that really teaches the word, because whether you get it up here, it gets in your spirit, and your spirit knows stuff. And then you walk out of here thinking you can do what you've always done, and you go to do it, and all of a sudden something in you goes, why did I ever go to the potter's house to begin with? Because it was nothing for you to do it before. But now, because the word, well, I wasn't even paying attention. No, but your spirit opened up. And your spirit says, yeah, come on. I'm going to get him with this later. I'm going to pull this up later. That's what your spirit will do for you. And then life becomes somewhat miserable initially, because you're torn between being two different people. Okay? And you live two or three different lifestyles. It'll wear you out emotionally. It'll wear you out physically. It'll wear you out financially. All because you're trying to balance out who you think you are and who God has called you to be. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So you're torn. You're just that. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And you're trying to balance out with who people think you are, as opposed to who you really are. I mean, you get a little something over here, and you get a little bit of something over there, and you got all this going on. And so now you're like, who am I, Lord? Who am I? Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I a believer? Am I not a believer? And it just depends on who's in your world at the time as to how you act. If the church folk come around, you're like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But if you're in the club and everybody's bumping and grinding and dancing and doing everything, you feel okay to do that too. But then all of a sudden that little thing comes up in you. Well, you better thank God for that little thing right there. You're living two lives. You're living two lives. And maybe you're good at it for a little bit, but you're in big trouble when you look up and both of them are coming in your direction. Oh, touch your neighbor. Tell them you got to let one of them go. You got to let one of them. One of them has got to go. Touch somebody and tell them, put the old man out. Put him out. And you got to do it yourself. Put him out. Personally, I don't see how it can be all that hard once you finally begin to realize how detrimental it was for you to be him. When you start realizing what it costs you to be who you were, then you ought to come to a point after a while where you're prepared to pay whatever it costs to be who God said you could be. Because you say, this ain't working. This is not working. That's costing me too much to live like that. That's costing my emotions. That's costing my future. That's costing me way too much. And I'm not willing to pay that high of a price to be who I was when I could turn around and just be who I am. him. And many times you have to experience complete failure in your life in order to bring you to the place where you can say that. I'm telling you, many times you have to experience complete failure. You're trying to keep everything going. You're trying to keep everything happening and everybody surviving. But sometimes God will just let everything crumble because he knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get through your big old head. And so then after a lot of pain, and then after a lot of failure, see, I'm telling you, this is my story. That's why I can say it convincingly, because I have been there and done that. But after a lot of failure and after a lot of pain, then you start looking back over your life and you start reevaluating. And when you start reevaluating, it often causes you to say things like, Lord, if I would have only known then what I know now, then it would have been different. If I could have just done this instead of doing that, it would have been. I wish that I would have never went down that path. Lord, if I would have took that job instead of taking that job, I might not be in the place I am in. Lord, if I would have joined that church instead of joining this church, I might not be where it would have been different. Lord, if I would have married James instead of Jonathan, or if I would have married Leslie instead of Linda. Lord, if I would have moved to New York instead of North Carolina, then it would have been. There are all different kinds of things that we can look back on our life and feel bad about. There are many, many things that we can look at and we can regret. Many decisions that we made that we said, oh God, if I'd have just done it different. How many of you know we have regrets in our life? That if I'd have had a different mother, if I would have had a different father, Lord, if I would have just known this or that. Lord, see, what we do is when we find ourselves in regret, see, this is very in good teaching today, because I'm going to teach you what to do when you leave the church. I'm not just going to shout you. I'm telling you what will happen to you, and then I'm giving you the antidote to deal with it. I said, I'm telling you what you'll have to face, and then I'm telling you how to face it. Touch somebody, tell them you better listen up. There are all kinds of things that we look back and say that we regret. We regret marrying this person. Or we can look back on our friends and say, I should have never been friends with them. Or we look back at things that we went through with family and say, man, if that would have never happened. See, regret, however, it is very painful. And it's not just painful. Regret is paralyzing. Regret will hold you hostage. Regret will imprison you. Regret will tell you in the middle of the night that yesterday's mistake has totally canceled out your tomorrow. You'll never get to tomorrow because of a decision that you made yesterday. I'm telling you what I know. I said it will tell you, it'll tell you you don't have a future. And one of the most difficult things to do is to counsel somebody or to minister to somebody whose heart is absolutely full of regret. Because no matter what you tell them, you can tell them everything you want to tell them about where they're going. All they can see is where they are. They're looking at where they are, and they're looking over their shoulder, and they're thinking, well, it would have been better if I would have done this, or if I would have done that, or if I would have done the other. And if you're not careful, you will even ruin this marriage because of your regrets from your previous marriage. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing, but it's okay anyhow, because you carried all of that baggage from that marriage over into this marriage, and you didn't show him your baggage until he put a ring on it. And now he's like, where did all that come from? Hello? Where's the woman that I married? Where's the man that I married? Well, I'm here, but now I got to show you all of the real baggage. So if you're not careful, you'll mess up things simply because you don't put a knife to it and cut it off and say, no, you were there then, but you are not going to control me now. And you can get so worried over the person that you was that you can't appreciate the person that you are. And when you get like that, sometimes you start unconsciously blaming everybody around you for the mistakes that you've made. You're living and you're living a miserable life because you're not able to seize the moment, because you're living in a valley that is called regret. And you're wondering all the time, did I do the right thing? Lord, did I do it? Was I supposed to? Or should I? Oh, what in the world is going on? And when you get in that kind of shape, you can appreciate what God is doing in your life today. And it doesn't matter how wonderful it was then or how good it is. You can't enjoy it because in the back of your mind, something keeps popping up that says, Lord, if I know you blessed me, but if I had to turn left, I wonder how much you really would have blessed me. If I really would have embraced him rather than pushed him away, I wonder, could it have been better? Could I have been stronger? Could I have been greater? If I'd have went to school one more year, could I have had a better paying job today? And because these thoughts and because of these memories, they're haunting you and they're tormenting you, then resentment starts building up between you and other people. And sometimes it builds up between you and God, or it builds up between you and the church you're a part of, because you're saying, if you would have preached that 6 months ago, I'd have never married the idiot, but now I married him, and now you're preaching that, thank you, but you're a little too late, Pastor Brady. Or sometimes resentment builds up between your job and whatever you have any regrets about on your job. Resentment builds up between you, and you start holding people responsible. You start holding your ministry responsible. You start holding your situation responsible. You start holding everybody else accountable for your failure but you. You hold them accountable. You're the reason I'm so dissatisfied. You're the reason I'm angry. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be so angry. You're the reason that I'm living with so much pain. But I have discovered in life that you can never be really healed as long as you hold everybody else responsible for your situation. You'll never be healed as long as you're angry with everybody else. Oh, I said, you got to touch somebody and tell them you got to let it go. And people can be angry with you and you not even know why. They can be frustrated with you and you don't know how, what did I do? They can be totally restless with you. And you're like, I don't know where, when did this happen? See, some marriages right now are restless. And you can't figure out what's going on with your spouse. I'm telling you what's going on. They're living in a valley of regret. And they're wondering, if you had not done this to me, if you had not done that to me, if you had not made me move from the East Coast to the West Coast, if you had made me drop, if you had made me get pregnant and drop out of school like I had to drop out of school, I wouldn't be hurting financially like I am today. See, you know, if you hadn't been so controlling over me, if you hadn't been so manipulative over me, if you had have supported me better, if you'd have been there for me, if you'd have walked me through my decisions, if you would have just talked to me, if you would have just backed me up with a little bit of support, if I could have got you to believe in me like that woman believed in Kenny Rogers, which she believes in me, if I could have got you to believe in me, I'd have been further. That's why Kenny Rogers made it. She believed in him. And then you find yourself with this huge wall between you and your world. And you find yourself with this huge wall between you and everybody that's precious to you. You love them, but you find out the enemy gives you, he helps you build a wall. And incident by incident, he's, here, put that brick on it. He hands you a brick. And you're like, yeah. Give me another one. Next thing you know, you're trapped. And the people you love are on the other side of the wall, and you don't know how to get to them, and now they don't know how to get to you. You're trapped. And while you're trapped, the enemy is laughing. He's jeering. He's having a party. Because as long as you stay in the valley of regret, and as long as you keep living with the what ifs, what if he'd only believed in me? What if we'd have stayed together? As long as you live with the what ifs of life, you can never be whole. And you never can be healed. And I promise you'll never have any peace. Because you cannot replay a moment once it is gone. It is gone. It is over. All you can do is start fresh right where you are. It is a trap. It is a stronghold that the enemy is using to keep you from becoming what God is wanting you to become. And he'll do it as long as you allow him to do it. He will keep you down as long as you allow him to keep you down. He'll let nothing work in your life because you're always like, what if? I wonder. Oh, you know, maybe I should have. At some point, you got to say, Lord, if I should have, then I failed and I missed it. Forgive me and let me start again. Be the God of a second chance. Because what he'll do is the enemy will use all of those mistakes in your past to stop you from enjoying your God. I said he'll, because you always feel like, oh, that just disappointed you. If I read 3 verses, that ain't good enough. I should have read 20. You hear me? But what you ought to say is, you know what? At least I read 3. And you know what? I'm going to get these 3. Because what good does it do you to read through the Bible in a year if you can't live one of them? Now, y'all know that's the truth. Some of the meanest people you ever met in your life are the people that study their Bible. What's up with that? Touch somebody and say, live it out loud. Live it out loud. So the enemy will hold it over your head and he'll get you to the point where you don't even enjoy your God. And when you don't enjoy your God, you can't pray effectively because you're praying out of your feelings and you're praying out of your emotions. And the reason that your prayers seem to be ineffective is because your heart is full of pain and it's full of disappointment and it's full of hostility toward yourself or toward other people. And so you come to church, but it doesn't really help you because the preacher is preaching about things like sin and addiction and promiscuity and getting your life together. And to a certain degree, preachers are failing us because they really, what we ought to really be needing to preach about is the problem that is locked up behind the problem. See, the sin is a result of something that's going on behind the scene. I need to get behind the scene. Woo! Touch your neighbor, tell him, let her in, let her in, let her in. What is the thing that's making the drunk man drink? What is making the crack addict do crack? What is making the promiscuous people be so? What is it? Some people are only doing that because it's the way they are numbing all of the regrets in their life. And I came to tell you, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody shout, no more regrets. No more. Again. No more. One more time. No more. Woo! That's liberating. Raging, raging, violent, violent men are taking out all of their life's regrets on innocent women and children. Mothers are taking it out on their children Because down in their heart, they're holding their mama responsible for what they went through. At some point, you have to break a generational curse. And it's more than just us coming together and us speaking in tongues and us holding hands and binding the devil. At some point, you got to put some shoe leather on your prayer and look at your child and say, baby, it's going to be all right. Mama's a little impatient right now, but I was wrong. I should have never acted like that. I should have never said that. I should have never flew off the handle. Come here, I want you to know I love you. At some point, you got to stop. You got to stop. You can't just be what your mama was. If your mama was a hoe, you can't be one just because she was. Tell somebody, break it, break it, break it. Tell your neighbor, it starts with you. It starts with you. Just because your daddy was an alcoholic and he had women around him all the time, sir, don't mean you can. You have come to the Potter's House North. You know too much. Woo! Help us, Jesus. I'm not talking to sinners today. I'm talking to church folk. I'm talking to church folk. Folk that are dressed up. Folk that look fine. But their heart is full of regret. And their heart is full of frustration. Because you didn't reach what you were reaching for. Or you didn't find the place you were after. Or because you didn't get what you wanted in life. Our heart is breaking. And our mind is in turmoil. And I don't care how high you jump. Or how loud you sing. You'll never get free until you get over regrets. Tell somebody out loud, that was then, but this is now. Thank you for freedom. It ain't the 4th of July, but I thank you for freedom. Woo! Somebody in this room has been living with a what if hanging over your head. And I'm going to tell you something. That attitude suggests that there is not a God. For the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. You might have not said it with your lips, but if you live your life with a what if hanging over your head, you are saying in your heart that God is not God enough to deal with this, and that I'm the master of my own destiny, and that if I'd have done this or if I would have done that. But I am here today to tell you that it is absolutely foolish for you to think that God could sketch up a plan for your life and you could abort it with your actions. How big is God? How vast and wide his domain? Foolish. Foolish. You bad, but you ain't that bad. Foolish to think that God has set a mandate, that God has set an assignment or an appointment for your life, has made out a plan for you, and you can just walk up in here and change the plan of God. Absolutely not. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of that man that he should repent. Have he not spoken, and shall he not do it? Hath he not said it, and shall he not make it good? I don't know how he's going to get you to tell him yes, but sooner or later, you will tell him. Because if your actions can change God, then God is not God. See, our problem is we don't realize how powerful our God is. Oh, we sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. But we don't realize how great that our God really is. He's the master of the universe. He sits on the circle of the earth. He has all power in his hand. He is not limited. He is not fragmented. He is not broken. He is God by himself. He sits up in the heavens and he pulls strings and he works on your behalf. He manipulates your situations. He controls and he monitors the affairs of men. And if you ever get a hold of the fact that the God that rules and super rules, the God that is the absolute boss, that is accountable to nobody, if you ever get over the fact that he's never shocked and he's never surprised and he's never intimidated and he's never insecure, but he's always able, always invincible, always winning, always conquering, always coming through with a victory, always will be King of Kings and always will be Lord of Lords, never once has he failed, never once has he missed the mark, never once has he not accomplished his purpose in a person's life. If you ever understand that the God that hollowed out the mountains, the God that spat out the seas, if you ever understand that the God who casts the stars into the heavens, if you ever understand that the God who tells the sun when and the moon when to switch shifts. You're off duty. Come on, you come on now. Woo! If you ever understand that that God lives in your chest, that he lives in your heart, that he's in your bosom, that he's in your house, that he's in your life, that he's living inside of your spirit, then why would you be troubled? And why would you be afraid? And why would you be intimidated when that God ever lives to pray for you? And if that ever gets in your spirit, no. We're not perfect, but we know what's in us, and he is perfect. So for all of you that are waiting to be perfect, to get over everything, for all of you that are waiting to like do 20 good deeds because you did 10 really horrible deeds to feel like you are worthy, you're never going to feel like you're worthy. If you ever start feeling like you're worthy, something wrong with that. That God that I'm talking about today, he lives inside of your heart. The same God that knew you before he formed you. The same God that assigned goodness and mercy to follow you like a soldier all the days of your life. Woo. Touch your neighbor, say, I think I'm being followed. I think I'm. Yes, surely goodness. Whew. Just when I needed mercy. Oh, just when I felt like I couldn't stand anymore. Goodness and mercy said, come on, get up, get up, get up. It's going to be all right. Whew. When I wanted to collapse and faint, they said, no, I got your back. I got your back. Come on, come on, come on. You can make it. The God I'm talking about today, he takes every awful thing you've done, every awful thing you're doing, every awful thing that you have the potential to do. He takes all of that stuff when you love him, not when you're perfect, but when you love him. And when you're called according to purpose, which, oh, that's another message I'm gonna have to preach later because I feel the Holy Ghost in here. But God says, will you just give me that affair that you went through? Why are you holding it? Would you give me all the betrayal? Just give it to me. Will you give me your low, down, awful, nasty lifestyle? See, something in you is not happy. Because if it was, you wouldn't be here today. So So something in you is warring with you. It's called destiny.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, He's Stirring Up a Blessing, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.